All right, we're going to bring the choir back here in just a little bit, but we do want to honor God's word and break it open here this morning. James tells us that pure religion is to look after orphans and widows. And so I like the qualifiers James provided about keeping a tight rein on your tongue and issues of the heart, compassion issues that are near and dear to the heart of God. And so thank God for that. So in Psalm 73, I want to share a few moments today about the concept of staying true to God and staying true to the Word of God. And if we needed to frame this in any way, we would basically call it fretting or inheriting. Fretting or inheriting. And so we are certainly, I would say, and most would agree, in a cynical dog-eat-dog world. And just the right amount of pressure can cause some to doubt their righteous convictions and consider and take inventory of other possible options to take. Have you felt life put a grip on you before? You feel pressures, or there's things that come your way in life. And sometimes in those moments, we take inventory even of our righteous convictions and our righteous belief systems. And sometimes due to the pressure, we may scratch our chin and think, is that really real, or is that really going to work? And possibly we're tempted to consider other options out there other than our righteous stand. And options do abound. They abound everywhere. And not only are they available, they are readily available, and they even volunteer. They say, choose me, pick me, take me, sometimes aggressively, sometimes subtly. And options can create deceptive comparisons. Have you ever tried to stay true to a conviction and you were tested in that way? And then in the middle of that hot furnace, you began to maybe consider some other options. Like, well, I don't know if I like this after all. Maybe what else would life look like outside this parameter of my conviction in this area? Have you ever been tempted to consider what else could there be to possibly go in another route? So we're tempted to shift back and forth due to pressure, sometimes confusion, sometimes resignation, along with a wide range of emotions. So false comparisons abound, and we want to be aware of them. So in Psalm 73 here this morning, here Asaph said, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Verse 2, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff, speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, but and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. Have you ever been tempted to think along that line when pondering, possibly popping out of a religious or a righteous conviction? Goes on to say in verse 13, surely in vain I've kept my heart pure. In vain I've washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been plagued. I've been punished every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Also, we drop down to 21. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Lord, we thank you for your word. Just help us in these days and times that we live to have proper perspective, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. So we have our convictions, but life does happen. We have our convictions, but pressures do come. We have our standing, but there are times that it's tested. And sometimes we do take the liberty to take inventory. Well, I really wonder what it would be like on the other side, or what would life have been like had I not said yes to the call or tried to follow God in one point or another of obedience. We're encouraged and exhorted by the author of Hebrews in Hebrews 6:10. And here he says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. Inherit what has been promised. So, how do we champion diligence? How do we do it to the very end? It's one thing to start strong, to start well, but here we're called to do it to the very end. What has been promised? How do we embrace faith and patience allow us to actually inherit the promise? The quote, distractions, options in life would say, throw diligence to the wind, throw faith to the wind, kick patience to the curb, out the door. False options have a tempting nature and a deceptive allure. Have you ever had false options hit your brain before? Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what if I were doing that? Yeah, but what if I were back there? And sometimes those things hit our minds. That's why staying true to God and His Word are indispensable, for they hold us and they keep us secure in those times. They and they alone enabled us to stay the course in life with the help of His Spirit and the help of others. So proper perspective is richly available as we draw near to God. Listen to the reminder of Psalm 37 that aligns us once again with what is truly real. Temptation causes us to fret, but God causes us to inherit. Again, temptation causes us to fret, but God enables us to inherit. We can fret or we can inherit. Big, big difference. And again, that's actually the title today, fretting or inheriting. Fretting or inheriting or receiving from Him. Psalm 37, can you go there here for a moment? Just back up a few chapters. You're doing okay today. Thank God that we don't have any liquid sunshine this morning, that it's beautiful outside. I want you to listen to the language in this chapter here, how much it goes back and forth about fretting and inheriting. Here the psalmist exhorts in verse 1, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. In other words, just live well. Live well. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil, for evil men will be cut off. But those who hope in the Lord will what? Will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Also drop down into verse 18. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will what? Will inherit the land. Go down to verse 27. Turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Also drop down into verse 28. For the Lord loves the just. He will not forsake his faithful ones. They are protected forever. But the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. Verse 29. The righteous will what? Inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Then verse 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. So over and over again in this text, we are encouraged, don't fret. Don't fret. We're also encouraged over and over in this chapter that we can inherit the promises, that we can inherit our land, as it were. Six times in this one chapter, we're encouraged how to inherit and that we can inherit. There is something for us. And because of that, we don't have to turn into that other attitude because God knows what he's doing. This morning, as we assembled together and as we watch these amazing children that have come here from Uganda, when I look at these children and I look at how they could have easily been given over to fretting due to circumstance and due to hardship, I marvel. But instead, I see children, beautiful children that are in fact inheriting the land and possessing the promise of God. Plenty of opportunity to consider the options, the concerns, but yet possessing the promise of God. And thank God for it, because we're the richer for it, are we not? Because they are stepping in to what God has for them versus lamenting over the circumstance. We're the benefactors because their roots are going down in the Lord and then they pop forth fruit. Guess who gets to partake of the fruit of that amazing tree? We do. Because they are possessing the promise of God, we're the richer and we're the blessed. And that's how it works. When the light turns on and they go from fretting to inheriting, then we're all better off. It's like, wow, you're bringing life into my world. Wow, you're bringing joy into my world. Wow, because you've stepped into something unique and rich and real and eternal, I'm blessed just due to being around you. And what you see on the stage, it's authentic. The smiles, I promise you, they did not put Vaseline on their teeth. These are real smiles. I know sometimes with cheerleaders, they'll put Vaseline just like, I know I'm supposed to smile the whole time. But this is real. It's authentic. It's from the heart. It's the fruit of possessing the things of the Lord. And again, we're the benefactors. When they inherit, we benefit. If through faith and patience, you step into your God-given destiny, I and others will be the richer for it. Listening to these children, see, they're not merely a choir. I mean, we can always watch a choir, and that's good. But how many of you know there's an X factor when you're connected to the Lord? There's something other when God is invited into the scenario. Choirs come, choirs go. But those that are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's this X factor. There's this other something. There's this joy. There's this presence. There's this emanating life. Where does it come from? It comes from above. So it's not just, again, a choir, but it's a choir that's rooted deeply in the Christian faith and Christian belief and worldview. They had reasons to fret, but they and their organization have stayed true to God and true to his word. Now they can, with uplifting smiles and shining faces, declare, the lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. See, outside of God and the grace of God, the lines have not fallen to us in pleasant places. For those of you that are here today and you're a Christian, do you remember what things used to be like on the other side? And then you said yes to the grace of God. And all of a sudden he began to line things up supernaturally. And you thought, if I had 1,000,000 years to script this, I couldn't have done it. I'm sitting there looking at the Tuckers. I mean, they've got more stories about how they got involved in one thing. And then that led to this. And then that opened a door here. And then that led to this opportunity, then this avenue. You can't script that stuff. It's just the goodness of the Lord. It's the sovereignty of God. It's that X factor when we are possessing the land and when we're saying yes to his call and with faith and patience. There's some reality there. With faith and patience, we too can say the lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. God and his promises have made all the difference in the world to this choir. And on this they hang their hope. And you know, inherent within the gospel is the power of salvation. And it saves on many different levels. It's not just our ticket to heaven one day in the sweet by and by. It's saving us now. It's providing an abundant life now. It's working on our emotions now. It's opening doors now. It's giving us a future and a hope now. It's causing everything to intersect. And God brings forth his promotion and his advantage. And he breaks the curse of lack. And he begins to give us a future and a hope. So that salvation is exhaustive. It's through and through, spirit, soul, and body. But we consider, even watching this testimony, that if the gospel's power can work in Uganda, and it does, and it will, and it shall, if it can work there, then certainly it can work in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hello, can I get a witness up in here? If it can work there, then maybe it can work in Chicago. We've been hearing a lot about Chicago and a lot of bad news of things that are just happening in the press. But the gospel works. It'll work there. It'll work here. It'll work in North Korea. It'll work in China. There's no spot that's too dark where God goes, oh, dear me, don't want to go there. No, because it's dark, the gospel comes. And his gospel is very effective in taking dead things and raising them up from impossible odds and from hopeless situations and touching it and breathing on it and allowing it to come to resurrection life. That's what he does. There was never a situation in Jesus' ministry, he said, you know, he's just too sick. I mean, you know, I'm good at headaches and, you know, I can do a little low-grade fever. I can't do past 105, you know, or I'm good, you know, a little boo-boo on the elbow, but that guy, he really sick. You know, so when they were bringing the sick to him, Jesus was like, oh, dear Lord, get me out of here. You know, calling my bluff. Oh, no, you know, he was secure and he waited on the Father and he allowed that flow to come to him and through him. No one was too sick. No one was too dead. It's not like, you know, there's dead and then there's really dead. I mean, it's like it didn't intimidate him because he had the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he is the resurrection and the life. So he's great in stepping into hard places and bad situations and bringing a word of hope and bringing a word of life. And that's why the author of Psalm says, don't fret. If you'll honor God, live well, you will inherit the land. You will inherit his promises. Things will break open for you. You won't merely be standing at the door knocking for the rest of your life. He's not playing a game in that way. He's like, I just love to watch them knocking for 50 years. No, we're knocking. He has every intention to open that door. Come on in. Come on with your bad self. Get in here. The getting is good. The food is good. The environment is good. Get in here. It's amazing. It's wonderful. That's what the gospel does. It'll work here. It'll work everywhere. Thank God for it. But we need you to inherit your land. Y'all need me to inherit my land. Oh, that everyone would walk in their calling by faith and patience. We can fret or we can inherit. Looking to God makes all the difference in the world. Psalm 16, 4 through 6 reads, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful what? Inheritance. See, maybe at one time you couldn't have said that, or maybe you don't feel like you can say it now, but you can say it by faith. You can say, I am tempted to fret. Oh, do I want to fret? And I got some stuff to fret about, so bless God, I'm just going to fret. Some people, you know, they read about the tribulation. They say, oh, the Bible says we're going to tribulate, so bless God, I'm just going to tribulate. It's like, well, there may be a higher way. You don't want to be self-inflicted here. So if we're committed to our own misery, go on and misery on, you know, but there's a higher way. We can fret, or we can inherit. And thank God that He provides that way as we look to the Lord. And then we too can say, no, no, bless God, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. He took my brokenness. He took my stuff. He took my lack of hope. And by grace, as I turned to Him, He breathed on me new life, new hope, future, a calling, purpose, identity. And any chapter and verse you can find, just fill in the blanks. Just fill it in. It works. There are inheritances passed down from parents and family that these children weren't able to receive. But there are inheritances passed down from the Lord that they and we all can have. And it's a sweet inheritance. And it's eternal. And it can never be taken away. Therefore, we choose to rejoice through faith and patience. We lay hold of it. We can all have that, can we not? Normally, someone has to die before we get our inheritance. Well, in our case, someone did die due to love. And aren't you glad? Jesus did die to provide the bounty that we can partake of today, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to give people a hope and a future. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the gospel to the poor? I will break that curse over your life and I will allow you to taste my provision. To preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to declare the favorable year of the Lord. It works in any setting, in any context. It works. Someone did die, and we're so glad. This is His will and testament for you and me. We can have what He says we can have. It's ours. And He is the executor of the estate. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where in big families, it's like they named him the executor of the estate. Or I didn't, they named me the executor, you know, and just all these things that go on and you get these internal conflicts. Thank God, this is His will and His testament. It's opened up and it's like, this is for you. And He's the executor of the estate. He is there to bring it to pass. He will give the legal reading to you that this is yours. Therefore, again today, fretting or inheriting. When another comes into their land, we're not envious. No, no, we realize we're next in line. When we watch God being good to another, we don't sulk. We get elated that that same good God will be good to us as well. If God were withholding, one might sulk. But when you see Him blessing, start wagging your tail like a little dog realizing dinner's on the way. There's a treat. You see God blessing someone else, you go, that's great. God is helping them. I'm next. Just like a barbershop. Next. Sign me up. And you begin not to sulk. You think God did that to them. That means God's doling out blessing. God's being good. Dad's being good. And we realize there's something right around the corner that He's fixing to do. You ever seen food put out at a farm before? Dear me, it's like a divine magnet. I mean, every critter from miles away, I don't know how they know, but I mean, they just instinctively know, and they're there. See, food has been put out. God has prepared a table for you, for me. I'm not going to fret. I'm going to inherit. Jesus died to give us this. Amen. Fretting or inheriting? Fretting, plenty of things that could tempt us, options, distractions, or inheriting. By faith and patience, I'm going to choose that. And with this help, I'm going to enter my land, whatever my land. What is your land? Everyone here has land. Everyone here has real estate, as it were, property, as it were, that God is saying, take a hold of it. Enter that. Possess that. Can we pray? Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your gracious care for us. Lord, we thank You. We see Your image in these remarkable children from Africa. Lord, I thank You that Your redemption has touched them. Lord, we thank You for organizations like Music for Life, the founder, Ray Barnett, others that have been in the yoke for years. Lord, bringing this burden, Lord, to the attention of the nations. We just thank you, Lord, that you love the orphan. Thank you, Lord, you're the one that breathes hope and that provides a future and that raises us up. You stoop down to make us great. So, Lord, we just honor you for that. Help us not to fret in whatever's buffeting us today, but make a quality choice. We too are going to inherit by the grace of God in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen.